One of the common points of confusion and sometimes heart searching with Christians has to do with the Lord's Supper, and specifically the kind of the concept of being worthy of the Lord's Supper. And we have, even with the words of Jesus, the kind of thing that can cause people, Christians, to be worried about it. When Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, of course, one of the petitions is, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then right after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus adds, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And that's kind of an example of the kind of thing that is involved, where we start wondering, are we in effect earning our continuing status with God or our salvation? Why would Jesus link our forgiveness to our forgiving of others? And we can expand that out to other aspects of the Christian life. And it all tends to come to a focus when we talk about the Lord's Supper. And we wonder, for example, is forgiving others, is it some sort of a work or payment by which we must earn or purchase our own forgiveness? Is it some sort of a ritual act which in some sort of magical way qualifies us for forgiveness if we do it? Is unforgiveness the unforgivable sin? And if not, isn't it covered by the cross of Christ like other sins? How does all this work? And it all tends to really come down to the Lord's Supper, because we have all the different verses in the New Testament about those who partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, for example. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians. And so we tend to, there's a tendency for us to feel like we need to go within ourselves when it comes time to the Lord's Supper, and that we have to become particularly worthy by being sorry enough for our own sins and focused enough on our own sins and that kind of thing. I think everything tends to clear up when we understand that this is a family meal. That's what it is. This is the family meal of the household of God. And the household of God is comprised of sinners, right? If you're not a sinner, because it says that, Paul says, this saying is worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, just so you know, I am the chief of sinners, because I persecuted the church, I put to death Christians. And so if you're not a sinner, you don't qualify. If you're not a sinner, you can't belong to the family of God. And you can't come to the table, because this is the family meal. The way we become unqualified for the family meal is when we persistently and overtly, through our lives and our behavior, declare that we don't want to be part of the family. And we don't want to receive forgiveness from the head of the family, even God. And we don't want to grow into a family resemblance to the head of the family. Remember, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was at the Last Supper, which was in celebration of the Passover. And what did Jesus do there? He washed the disciples' feet, which is a picture of Jesus. And he tells them, look, well, you know, Peter says, you can't wash my feet. And he's being honorable. He's going, you're my Lord. I'm the servant. I should be washing your feet. But Jesus says, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part of me. So this is the family of those whom Jesus washes their feet every single week. And this is the meal for those who Jesus washes their feet every single week, which means this is the family of those who need their feet washed by Jesus every single week. And Jesus makes it clear when Peter says, well, if that's the case, then I want all the water. I want to be washed all over. Jesus says, you don't need to be washed all over. You've already been washed all over. You're a believer. You're saved. You just need to have your feet washed. But I'm the only one who can do it. So the first way for us to declare by our behavior that we don't want to be part of this family that is headed by God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the family in which Jesus has to wash our feet every week because we need it, the first way to declare you don't want to be part of that family is to say, I don't need Jesus to wash my feet every week. Right? To say, I don't need that, is to declare what John says in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, then we make God a liar, and the truth is not in us, and we're deceiving ourselves. That's what we're saying if we say, I don't need Jesus to wash my feet every week. So this is precisely the family of those whom Jesus has washed because they're sinners, and furthermore, because we fall short every single week, we need Jesus every single week to wash our feet every single week. That's that family. So don't, if you start thinking you have to be perfect to be part of this family, you've got the wrong family. Because this is the family that Jesus washes our feet every single week. The other way to say that you don't want to be part of the family by your behavior is to have some kind of a large and obvious and blatant sin. The example we have in 1 Corinthians is a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. You see the kind of thing I'm talking about. We're not talking about small stuff here. We're talking about big stuff and was not repenting of it. That's the kind of thing that man is declaring, I don't want to be part of the family that comes here before the table, because I don't want to bear any resemblance to the head of the family. Now, we don't become instantly like the head of the family. If we did, we wouldn't need Jesus to wash our feet every week. But God is working with us step by step, little by little, with patience that goes far beyond what we can understand, to inch by inch conform us to the image of God. Okay, that's what He's doing. And somebody who's clinging to a big and obvious sin and saying, I will not repent of this, I will not let it go, is saying, I don't want to bear a family resemblance to the head of the family. Which is another way of saying, I don't want to be part of the family, I just want to eat the food. Right. And so when the elders, when the shepherds go to such a person and say, look, brother, or look, sister, you are declaring with your life, very obviously, and by the fact that you won't let go of this big sin, you're declaring that you don't want to be like the head of the family. You're declaring, basically, you don't want to be part of the family. And if that's what you're saying, and we hear you saying this over and over, then you've got to match up what you're saying with the family meal with what you're saying otherwise. You've got to have consistency in what you're saying. If you're saying you're not part of the family, at some point we are saying we believe you. Or at least we're going to treat you like what you say. We're going to take your word for it because you keep insisting. Even though we're talking to you, you keep insisting in this. And so you see, it's not really even as serious as the sin of somebody sleeping with the father's wife. It's not the thing in and of itself that makes somebody renounce their familyship. It's the fact that they won't let it go, that they're holding on to it and saying, I don't need to have my feet washed of this. I refuse for Jesus to wash my feet of this. I refuse to let it go. It's that. It's the impenitence. It's the holding on to it that is the declaration that I don't want to be part of the family. And so you see, really, when it's done properly, what excommunication from the Lord's Supper is the shepherds of the church, after speaking to a person and over time, saying, we hear you. We hear you. We hear what you're saying, and we see what you're saying. And all we're saying is, you got to say the same thing. You can't say one thing with your life and then say another thing here. Because this is the place where Jesus washes your feet. It's also the place where you have to drop that thing that you're holding on to. Not to earn your salvation, but just to acknowledge whose family this is. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.